to the house of God, for this our children's day. May God speak to every heart, for we always sing and say.
Well, Sarah, we appreciate you welcoming one and all to our Children's Day service for evening service. And we welcome you in our Saviour's name. Take your hymn book and turn to 695. You'll find hopefully one there at the end of the row if you haven't got one. 695, this beautiful, beautiful children's hymn. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. We'll stand to sing this hymn of Philip Paul Blisses. You'll find it on the page 456. Let's stand and sing to God's praise, 695. Seek the Lord now in prayer, and so we'll come to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll bow our heads, our hearts before the Lord. We come before one who is greater than man when we come to God in prayer, and so we bow our heads as we come in reverence and awe of our great God. So let's seek the Lord now in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come, Lord, into thy sacred presence, and through the glorious name of thine only and well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ, We come, Lord, with ever thankfulness that Thou hast sent Thy Son into the world to redeem fallen humanity and reconcile sinful God to men, and or sinful men to God, and holy God to men. We thank Thee, Father, for the great work of redemption purchased by Christ and wrought out by Christ there upon the middle tree. We thank Thee, Father, that we can say, oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. Those who know Thee, those who have been saved by grace, Lord, we have become the objects of Thy divine love. And we thank Thee that that love was manifested and displayed publicly there at the place called Calvary. We thank Thee that bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place Christ stood. He sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And Lord, we rejoice in our Savior this evening. We thank Thee that Christ died for sin according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day He rose according to the Scriptures. We thank Thee that tonight we've got a living Savior. Thank Thee for one who lives in the power of an endless life. Rejoice, O God, in the reigning King, the one who sits upon the throne, who will never be usurped or never be removed from that position of power. But we rejoice that He is the everlasting King. He is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise. And Lord, we pray that the King will be exalted in this house tonight. Help every boy and girl and every young person as they participate in this service. Pray Thou wilt speak to hearts who have gathered to join with us this evening. Pray that each boy and girl will know the great and help of God as they witness for Christ. And as they sing Thy praise, we recognize, O God, that, Father, each one needs the new birth. Each one needs to be born again of Thy Spirit. And oh, well and good to know things intellectually, but oh, to know it personally, to know it experimentally. Lord, that's what's required if ever we are to find ourselves in heaven itself. And so we pray that each boy and girl will come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the families of our congregation. Pray for the stirring up, O God, of those who join with us. And Lord, those who are slack, dear Father, in these days, O, we cry to Thee that Thou wilt bring the people of God back together and grant, dear God, Thy house to be filled. Fill Thy house with Thy glory. That's our great desire, and that's surely our greatest need for this service, that God Himself will visit us by the Spirit of God. Help, Lord, all who will participate, and bless Thy servant as he comes to bring the word. Grant, dear God, or Mr. Hammond, great help, we pray, and may Thy blessing rest upon the service. We offer prayer now in and through our Savior's precious, holy, and wondrous name. Amen and amen. Well, we welcome you in our Savior's name. Thank you for joining with us on this the evening service of our Children's Day. And how the Lord helped this morning, and we want that to be the case tonight. Want our boys and girls and young people to do their part and sing and play their part to the best of their ability. And so we're going to move into our program, and we're delighted that Mrs. McMullen's class, being the smallest of our classes, the youngest of our classes, they're going to sing for us. They're going to sing God is Everywhere. And so we're going to have Sarah, Jacob, Naomi, Daniel, Abigail, Archie, and William, and they're going to sing God is Everywhere.
Church is here, at home he's there.
That was powerful. That was really good, boys and girls. Thank you. Reminding us again of God's ever presence, his presence in all places, at all times, and all of his being. And whenever you get to that middle section of that little chorus, here and there, everywhere, anytime, anywhere, it's a bit of a tongue twister, but you got on very well this evening. We're going to come to the scriptures at this time, a portion of God's word that reminds us of God's presence. And Luke Murphy is going to come. He's going to tell us where we're reading from. So take your Bible, if you have one, and turn up to the passage and follow along as Luke brings and reads the word at this time.
The reading today is taken from the book of Psalm 139, verses 1 to 14. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Amen.
Psalm that reminds us of how God in his goodness has created us, and even in our mother's womb, how he preserved us, and how we need to be reminded of that even in these days, that even the preciousness of life, the life of the child, and thank God for children that the Lord has given to us. And I trust that you'll remember that, boys and girls and adults. In all places where we go, God is there. God sees us, and he hears us, and he knows us through and through. And may that even guard us in all things that we do in our lives. We're going to have our choir, the joint choir now at this time. And they're going to sing for us at this time, Down from the Glory, the Savior Came. And then secondly, Christ the Savior of Sinners Came into the world to save. So we'll have our choir, young people, and the boys and girls. And boys and girls, you sing out well these two pieces at this time.
The death of
course, reminds us works of righteousness are all in vain. Jesus alone can save. And if you remember nothing from this Children's Day, you remember the words of that chorus, Jesus alone, Jesus alone, Jesus alone can save. I'm going to have a Bible recitation from memory at this particular time. And Isaac Brown is going to come to recite some verses from Ephesians chapter 6. And he's going to be helped with an army of helpers. And so they're going to come to the front. Isaac, you come here to the pulpit, and then the others will come and help us with this Bible recitation. Thank you.
Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For he wrestles not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Let me thank Isaac for the Bible recitation, and we're very thankful even for all that God gives to us as soldiers of Christ, and how in the battle he gives us armor to protect us as we go forward day by day. And I trust that you'll learn to put on the whole armor of God, not leave one piece off as you go out into the world. The world is no enemy or no friend to God, to grace, or to the Christian. We need to go forward. Our weapons are not physical weapons, but thank God they're spiritual, not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to have a quartet, I think that's what it's called, a quartet, and we're going to have a song by Bethany, Grace, Maisie, and Michaela, He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe.
He paid a debt he did.
debt of sin paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, girls, for singing. You sang lovely and sweetly this evening. He paid a debt, the debt of sin paid by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we were to have two of our young men to do this next piece. Unfortunately, one of them took sick in the middle of the night. And so we're going to ask Noah to come, and he is going to read out. He'll do his part and then read out the second part of this poem. It's called Stand in the Gap. You listen to the words of this poem.
The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I find none. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap, dear brother, and work for God while you may. For the time will come, dear brother, when all shall have passed away. The world is ever calling, with all its pleasure store, but they are only fleeting, and soon will be all o'er. So stop and think, dear brother, and serve your Saviour King, for only loyal service true happiness will bring. We do not work for silver, nor do we strive for gold, but for the love of Jesus, let us be true and bold. And when the warfare's over, and all the frightening's done, the trial's o'er forevermore, the crown of victory's won. So be it hard or easy, give us the grace, dear Lord, to follow thee more fully and trust thy precious word."
Our motivation: we do not work for silver, or do we strive for gold, but for the love of Jesus, let us be true and bold. Appreciate Noah filling in and doing your part in that particular poem. We're going to think about one who stood in the gap, the greatest gap that there ever was, and that is a gap there at the cross of Calvary. And we're going to have another Bible reading at this time, and Joe McMullen is going to come and he's going to read for us. And you listen to where he reads from and then follow along in the Bible reading this evening.
We're reading from Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 10. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare the generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the people to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Amen.
What mystery there is in those words, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief." What love, what amazing love of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're going to think about that love as Rhoda is going to play an instrumental piece at this time. "The King of Love, my Shepherd is." And so let's listen even as Rhoda plays. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, beautifully played, Rhoda. We appreciate that in the Saviour's name. And I trust that he is yours, and he is yours forever. It can be the case if you walk the road that every Christian must walk, the road of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you in our Saviour's name. Thank you for making the effort. For those who are joining with us, visitors, we welcome you. Thank you for joining with us. And if you're watching online, we welcome you in our Saviour's holy and precious name. Let me take the opportunity to thank the boys and girls, young people, for all your help, your assistance, your willingness to take part even in our Children's Day service. It has been a blessing, an encouragement. They'll sing another couple of pieces in the will of God just before God's servant brings the word of God to our hearts. Let me thank the parents, the Sunday school teachers, for all your help. Miss McMullen here for her help even at the front to try and get them lined up and to sing as loud as they can. Very shy round Port Lonoan, very quietly spoken, and I trust that you've been able to hear. I know you have, and the boys and girls, young people, have done their very best. We're glad to have our brother, Mr. Hammond, with us again this evening, our brother Jeff, in the Saviour's name. He comes from the Martyrs Memorial down in Belfast and is in charge of the Sunday school work in Sandy Row there in the city. It has concluded. That Sunday school has come to an end at the end of May. You pray for that work and their endeavours in the gospel. And I omitted to welcome Mrs. Hammond with us. Heather and Joel and Eden are with us as well. They were here with us this morning, and I tell you, it was a good advertisement for marriage this morning and all we learnt about getting a lunchbox. If nothing else, there you go. You can need to get married to get yourself a lunchbox instead of a plastic bag to put your lunch into. And I trust that the Lord will bless them even as a family as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ together. Just a few announcements. Wednesday night, our Bible study and our prayer time at 8 p.m. Come along. We'll be concluding our studies on Islam as we started that last Wednesday night. But we'll conclude our studies on Islam. And I trust that you'll come. It was good to have a goodly number. Let me encourage every Christian to come and be instructed in the things of God and learn these matters. And then may God help us to live for Jesus Christ and help us to answer those who follow such false religions. Friday night, our presbytery meeting is at 8 p.m. in Macrofelt, a Free Presbyterian church not that far away. And so we'll meet at 7:30 at the manse, and brethren will go over together in the will of God on Friday evening for 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, 11 o'clock, our Sunday school and our Bible class. Our Sunday school goes to the end of the month of June, so a number of weeks still to go. So 11 o'clock Sunday school and Bible class. 11:15, our time of prayer, to 11:45. 12 noon, the family worship service, and then we'll meet as the family of God for the communion feast, the communion supper, the communion service. I trust you'll come as a child of God prepared to wait for that service. 6:30, our gospel service, preceded by the half hour of prayer from 5:45, and I'll be here to preach in the gospel in the will of God. Just a number of other announcements. The next session committee meetings are on Thursday the 16th of June at 7:30. Items for the agendas to be with the relevant persons by Monday of next week. And then our church barbecue is on Friday the 17th of June. Now, I looked at that list and I didn't see very many names put down on that list after this morning's service. And I told you to go out and put down your name. So please put down your name. Those that you're bringing with you, family and friends, if you want to bring them along, introduce them to the church family here. So that's Friday the 17th of June. There'll be things here for the children, bouncy castles, and then food. And we'll maybe do a few other games, maybe to involve all you people that just sit about and do nothing but eat. We'll try and get you involved, and I'll try and think of a number of things whereby that can happen. Food will be served from 7:30. You need to pray for a good night of weather, and again, place your name just there in the hallway table. Before you go out tonight, put your name. All are welcome, but you need to make sure that we know that you're coming. And so thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate that and trust that you'll join with us again as the Lord will lead and guide you. Let's turn in our hymn book to 712, found on the page 462. The hymn 712, Charles Wesley's hymn. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. 712, we'll stand and we'll sing the 6 verses off this lovely children's hymn on the page 462.
Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Fain I would be as thou art, give me thy obedient heart.
Going to have our choir, they're going to sing their last two pieces at this time. They're going to sing, I Will Seek the Savior, or early I Will Seek the Savior, and then their final piece, The Lamb of God for Sinners Died. Come on ahead, young people and boys and girls, and sing out these two final pieces.
Yeah.
this evening and the singing of our boys and girls. And maybe you think I forgot to thank someone, but I wanted to leave it to the very, very end. I wanted to thank Rhoda especially. Rhoda has been under pressure for this service. Mrs. Strong, we all know concerning our brother Ralph, and Rhoda had helped with the practices in the lead up to Children's Day, and she was willing to stand in and help us, and that was done in conjunction with Mrs. Strong. We felt that it would be the best that Rhoda would play, and I think for a first Children's Day to play, Rhoda has played exceptionally well, and we thank the Lord for her, and I know she'll be terribly embarrassed about that, but I trust that the Lord will bless you, Rhoda. Thank you in the Saviour's precious name. We're glad to have our brother, Mr. Hammond, our brother, Jeff, and our brother's going to bring the word that God has placed upon his heart at this particular time of the service. Thank you.
Well, if you have your Bible with you this evening, I want you to turn to John chapter 3. And again, just like we did this morning, we'll just read a couple of verses there to set the scene for the message this evening. While you're looking that up, again, I'd like to thank you, Minister, for his words of welcome. We really value his friendship, and it's good to renew fellowship again with him and Andrea and the family. And it's good to be with you. And again, well done to all the boys and girls and the young people for all the work that you've put in and practicing for this Children's Day. And it's really enjoyed it, and you've all done very well. John chapter 3, and it's two verses we want to read, verses 14 and 15. So John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here the Lord Jesus used something from many years beforehand in the Old Testament as an object lesson to teach Nicodemus an important truth. And I'm going to, again, like we did this morning, I'm going to attempt to put this up where you can all see it. That truth I want to leave with you this evening is look to Jesus Christ and live. Look to Jesus Christ and live. Let's pray together, please. Our dear loving Father and Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we can approach thee through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thee, Lord, pleading the merits of his precious blood and his perfect righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for that song the boys and girls were singing, that they need no other argument, have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he rose for me. We thank you, Lord, for those tremendous words. Thank you, Lord, for each boy and girl, each young person along here. Thank you, Lord, even for the opportunity that they've had to do a service for thee. And I pray, Lord, that what has been sang, what has been said, Lord, that will find a resting place even in hearts. And Father, we pray that you will bring a solemnity even to our meeting just now. We pray, Lord, that you would close us in with yourself. We pray again for the help of the Holy Spirit. We confess that without thee, we can do nothing. And so we pray, Lord, and ask, Lord, for the infilling of thy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless thy word, even this evening, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you who were along this morning, you'll remember I had some things with me. I had, how many loaves had I with me? How many loaves? Yeah. Yes. Five. How many fishes? Yes. Two. Well done. Well, I have something else with me this evening. Let's see where it's at now. Yes. It's very different. Very different indeed. Does anyone know what this is? See, my slide's falling here. Yes. Does anyone know what this is? Yes, wee boy in the end. Yep. A snake. That's right. A snake. Now, would any of you like to have a snake for a pet? No, I wouldn't fancy it either. Now, many people don't like snakes, and perhaps it's because of how they look. They have a sinister appearance, don't they? Or maybe it's how they move, you know, how they slither around. Or maybe it's because that they have these two big teeth, their fangs, or maybe it's the forked tongue, you know, that goes out and in. Now, I think what makes many people dislike snakes is the fear of being bitten and poisoned by them. Now, I was just reading up. The World Health Organization states that around 81,000 to 138,000 people die each year because of snake bites. Now, a lot of snakes are fairly harmless and they don't have poison. But there are some snakes which are deadly, like the king cobra or the black mamba. Now, thankfully, they're not native to Northern Ireland. But if I ever happened to meet one, let's just say I would definitely make a hasty retreat. Or escape, I should say. Deadly poisonous snakes feature in our message this evening. And we're going back in time into the Old Testament to when the people of Israel were wandering through the wilderness. Now, God had been so good to the people of Israel. He had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Now, maybe, boys and girls here, maybe you've learned that at the children's meeting or at Sunday school. But they were slaves in Egypt, and God brought them out. And not only that, but God parted the Red Sea to allow the children of Israel to cross over on dry land. But whenever Pharaoh's chariots and armies were chasing after them, God brought the waters down and caused them crashing in upon the enemy. God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And going through the desert, they didn't have Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Asda or Spar. But God provided food and drink for all those people. And then God gave them his law at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and instructions for the tabernacle. And God was bringing them to the promised land of Canaan, just as he said he would, and just as he promised. But they rebelled against the Lord, and because of their sin, And because of their unbelief, they couldn't enter the promised land. And my friend here today, if you don't look to Jesus Christ, then your sin and your unbelief will prevent you entering the promised land of heaven. And so we find these people wandering in the wilderness. Well, they came to the stage in their journey. They were at a place called Mount Hor, and they were going to travel to the far side of this area here called Edom. And the people weren't happy because they had to take the longer way around Edom. And you see, they had wanted to take the direct route through Edom. And with the scorching heat, many of the people were saying, "Why do we have to go this way?" You see, they weren't willing to accept the fact that God knew best. They thought they knew better than God. And perhaps that describes you here this evening. Perhaps you haven't looked to Jesus Christ, but instead you've been determined to go your own way. That's the sin nature. God says, "Thou shalt not," but we say, "We shall." God says, "Thou shalt," and we say, "We shall not." The sin nature. We mentioned the Ten Commandments. Have you ever broken any of those commandments? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever loved anything more than God? And if you've broken even one of the commandments, then you're guilty of all. Guilty before God. And so if you don't look to Jesus Christ, how else can you be forgiven? So the people were not happy. And so they started to do what they usually did. They started their complaining. They didn't take responsibility for their own sin or their own rebellion, but instead they spoke against God. And they spoke against Moses with hurtful and poisonous words. "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" They were so doubtful. They doubted the goodness of God. God had brought them out of their misery and slavery in Egypt. And God said he would do that. And God said he would bring them to the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. Then they said, "For there is no bread, neither is there any water." Not only were they doubtful, but they were forgetful as well. God had provided for them. They had a daily supply of manna, bread from heaven. God had provided them with water out of the rock. God had made the bitter water sweet at Marah. God had provided them quail, and God had provided for them. They were so forgetful. And then they said something particularly mean. They said these words, "And our soul loatheth this light bread." And they were so ungrateful for all that God had done for them and what how God had provided for them. They despised the manna. They were saying that they were disgusted with the bread God had supplied them from heaven. And what a reminder this is for how awful sin is. I wonder here this evening, are you still in rebellion towards God? Are you still in your sin? Are you someone who is doubtful towards God? Are you forgetful for all that God has done for you? How that He has loved you? How that He has sent His Son to die for you? Are you ungrateful? Do you take responsibility for your sins? Or do you blame someone else? Well, that's what the children of Israel did. And God heard what they said. God heard their rebellious, hurtful, poisonous words. And that provoked the wrath of God. And the judgment of God came upon the people of Israel. And that's where the deadly, poisonous snakes comes into our message. And it wasn't just one snake. No, there were many of them. And they went through the camp of Israel. And they went through biting their victims, injecting their deadly poison into them. And we read in Numbers 21 that much people of Israel died. A very fitting judgment for that people, considering their hurtful and their poisonous words. And I can imagine those who were bitten crying out, "Ow! Help! I've been bitten by a snake." I can imagine the shouts. I can imagine the squeals and the screams. I can imagine those who were bitten and being in severe pain and then having a raging fever. I can imagine them becoming and feeling so thirsty and then having difficulty breathing. Anyone who was bitten knew they only had a short time left before they would die. They had no hope. And there was nothing they could do to save themselves. The people had sinned, and they were getting what they deserved. Dear friend, this evening, if you have never looked to Jesus Christ, then you too will get the wages your sin deserves: death. The poison is already in you. Your time is short. You have no hope in and of yourself. You're heading for death, heading for judgment, heading for hell. And there is nothing you can do to save yourself. And so the people of Israel realized that. They realized that the Lord had sent those snakes among them as a judgment because of their sin. And they came to Moses. "Moses, we have sinned. We have spoken against God and we have spoken against you." They were confessing their sins that they were guilty of. Moses, would you pray that God would take the snakes away? Well, let's learn a lesson here from Moses. Moses didn't bear a grudge. Moses didn't say, "No, I'm not praying for you after all the nasty things you've said to me." No, Moses was willing to forgive. And he was showing them and showing all of us here what Jesus Christ is like. He is the one who is willing to forgive. And dear friend, this evening, if you repent, if you're truly sorry for your sin and confess them to Christ, he will forgive you. And that's why I can say with confidence, look to Jesus Christ and live. Moses did pray, and God, in his great mercy, answered their request to take the snakes away. But God did more than that. Because not only did God take the snakes away, God provided a way for those who were bitten to be healed. And the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to make a snake out of brass." I want you to make a snake out of brass. And then, when you've done that, I want you to set it upon a pole. Okay. Now, that pole was to be lifted up high. And so, anyone who is in the camp who has been bitten by a snake, if they look upon this brass snake, if they but look upon this brass snake, then they shall be healed and they shall live. Now, in our Bible reading from John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, this is the object lesson that the Lord Jesus used to teach Nicodemus that important truth. Look to Jesus Christ and live. It seems, firstly, a bit strange that the Lord Jesus should compare himself to this brass snake. After all, when you think about a snake, it's something that is so often associated with the fall of man into sin and the curse. But here was a snake that didn't bite. And here was a snake in which there was no poison. And that reminds me that the Lord Jesus is the one who has no sin. He is perfect. But yet, when he went to the cross, the Bible tells us that he was made sin for us. He's the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for us. He was made a curse for us. We read in Galatians that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Boys and girls, adults here today, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary I'm glad I can sing, He took my place and died for me. And the very fact that the Lord Jesus referred to the fact of as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that speaks to us about how the Lord Jesus was going to die. You see, this brass serpent was fastened to this pole. But the Lord Jesus, when he went to Calvary, he was fastened to the cross. He was nailed hand and foot to the cross, and he was lifted up to die. And the Lord Jesus on the cross was made that sacrifice for sin. And boys and girls, adults here today, through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have your sins forgiven. You can have peace with God, in whom we have redemption through his blood. What an incredible object lesson the Lord Jesus provided Nicodemus with that day. Well, that's what happened. That brass snake was put up on that pole. And it was so high that everyone in the camp of Israel could see it if they so desired. But there was the requirement of faith. You see, those who were bitten had to believe. They had to believe the word of God. God says, if you look at that brass serpent, then you'll live. They had to believe that. They had to believe that if they looked at this brass serpent, then they would be healed. Could it be that there was maybe someone in the camp and they heard the message, look and live? Look at the brass serpent and you'll live. Could it be that there might have been someone in the camp who said, look to a brass serpent and be healed? No, that sounds foolish. Well, what would have happened to that person? They would have died. But the people who were bitten, if they believed, if they looked upon this brass serpent, then they were healed. They were healed. And that's the wonderful lesson that the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, look to Jesus Christ and live. And not just have life, but have eternal life. Eternal life in heaven forever. I wonder, can I ask you here today, young people, boys and girls, older people here today, have you looked to Jesus Christ? Have you received that everlasting life that the Lord Jesus was talking about? Do you know what it is to have your sins all forgiven and to have peace with God? In conclusion, I want to show you something which I went for a walk a couple of weeks ago. And whenever I was out in the walk, I spotted this and I thought, this is something that I'll need for Children's Day in Portland Owen. And this blue symbol, I don't know if you've ever seen this blue symbol before. And you can find this blue symbol on the side or in the back of some ambulances. And this is what, I don't know if you can see that on the side there, but I was walking near where the Mary Peters athletics track is in Belfast, and I spotted this ambulance and I saw the blue symbol on the back, and I thought, I'll need to get a photo of that. And so that's where that comes from. And this blue symbol here is known as the Star of Life, and it's used to identify emergency medical services. But do you see what's in the middle of this blue symbol? It's a snake on a pole. Isn't the Lord amazing? Down through history, the Lord has preserved that. The sovereignty and providence of God. And this symbol was on the side of an ambulance. And so, could I leave you with this thought? That if you're not saved, then you are in an emergency situation. The saving of your soul is more important than the saving of your body. And the only one who can save your soul is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one who can cleanse you and save you. And so, in closing, could I encourage you, young people, boys and girls, older people here today, look to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ and live. I do appreciate your attention this evening. Thank you for listening so well. That is very much appreciated. We'll ask your brother even to close in prayer. Thank you.
Well, let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate your faithfulness to the Word and to the Lord. Would you look to Christ tonight? Here's the question. He'll save you, but will you look and live? If God's servant can help you in any way, if I can help you, then please avail yourselves of our services. Just there at the doorway, we'll just be at the door this evening to greet you as you make your way out. But if we can help you, then please avail yourself of that opportunity. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy good word to our soul. We thank thee for this very simple object lesson. We thank thee for the scriptural bent of the message this evening, and we're rejoicing in that. We thank thee for our Savior, the one who was lifted high upon the cross of Calvary there for our sins. He became the curse for us. We rejoice, O God, that he paid the price of sin. But we recognize man's responsibility, the need for them to look by faith to Christ alone for salvation. Lord, we pray that there will be some, a boy or girl, a mum or dad, an aunt or uncle, a granny or granda, that they'll look to Jesus Christ tonight and live. O God, help, we pray. We pray that thou wilt bury thy word deep within the hearts of all. And bless, Lord, all of our endeavors today in the gospel. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt part us now with the favor of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may all our families be gathered around the throne of God, singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Answer prayer, and Holy Spirit, do thy work. We pray this in our Savior's precious, holy, and wonderful name. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you, and thank you for joining with us this evening. Thank you.